John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 10. Last week we opened up this new series in the 1st John, and John tells us that Jesus came into the world to give us eternal life. And today our lesson is titled, Walking in the Light. Today you hear a lot about alternative lifestyles. If you don't like the yoke of marriage, well, you can just live together. If you get tired of the straight life, you can get involved in the alphabet life. If you like the comforts of marriage but don't like being tied down, you can become a swinger. And so all of the approaches to life, no matter what they are, can be narrowed down to two. We are either walking in the light or we are walking in the darkness. One way pleases God, the other way displeases God. So what does it mean to walk in the light? First of all, this morning, walking in the light means that we take on the nature of God in daily living or daily life. You see, light and darkness, when they're used in this way, they're descriptions of nature. Light, for example, represents love and righteousness and truth. And darkness, on the other hand, represents hatred and unrighteousness and evil. Just evil. I don't know how that got on there. But by the way, I'm not practicing eisegesis here. I am not tucking meaning in the terms that isn't there. The meaning is there. I'll give you two other verses we can look at. This is in Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 8, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation." And so, John says that God is light. What does that mean? It means that He is the essence of moral purity. It means that His lips have never been soiled with a sinful word, nor has His heart ever been stained by an evil thought. You see, God will always do what is just and good and holy because that's His nature. God will never act inconsistent with His nature. He will always be light. He will never be darkness. And actually, when it says in verse 5, it says, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And it's no, not at all. And it's emphasizing that there's no darkness in God. God is the light. And so He is holy. He is just. He is pure. He is true. And He always acts consistent with His nature, never inconsistent. In fact, in Titus 1:2, we're told, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised." And so there, attaching eternal life to the promise of God, the truthfulness, the consistency of God, if you will. And so God's nature is to be our pattern for daily life. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, if you look there, 1 John 2:6, this is what John writes. He says, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." In other words, we're to walk like Jesus. And Jesus was God incarnate, or God in the flesh. And because God is our Father, our daily walk ought to be characterized by righteousness and love and truth and everything else that is consistent with the nature of God. You see, when we become children of God, we are not at liberty to just live any way that we choose to live. We are called to take on the nature of God and daily living. And so the cussing and the dirty joke telling must come to an end. The drinking and the carousing must cease. John says we must walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're going to break that down a little bit more under the second point, because I think it's important to understand what does John mean by walking in the light as he is in the light. Well, it means to take on the nature of God in daily living. That's the first thing I want you to see. But secondly, I want you to see that walking in the light means that we enjoy uninterrupted fellowship with God. And so the idea that when you sin, you're out of Christ, and when you repent, you're back into Christ. When you sin, you're out of Christ. When you repent, you're back into Christ. That's false. The Bible does not teach that. We're not in Christ, out of Christ, in Christ, out of Christ. When you leave God, when you tell God, I don't want to serve you, I don't want to worship you, that's when you're no longer in Jesus. Daily sin does not take us out of Christ. And we're going to see that we all have it, and none of us are without it. And John is pretty clear here. But first of all, John says, that we enjoy this uninterrupted fellowship with God. Man is a gregarious being. And so, in other words, God created man to be a social being. And we're most fulfilled when we are engaged in social activity with family, with friends, and loved ones. God said in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. And so God knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So God created a woman. He created a companion for the man, someone that he could share his life with. And so if man is to truly be happy, though, he must not only be in fellowship with other human beings, but he must be in fellowship with God. And if you're not in fellowship with God, you will never know true joy and happiness. You know, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he experimented with everything you can experiment under heaven. I mean, he had gold, he had silver, he had women, he had comedians, he had singers, he had houses, he had gardens, he had all kinds of things. And none of that brought happiness or joy into his life. And he concludes the book in chapter 12 and says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If man is ever to be fulfilled, he will be fulfilled in a relationship with God, or he will never be. And so for emphasis and clarity purpose, the negative and the positive of this fellowship is given here. And so the life of darkness is godless, and it's lonely because you don't have that fellowship with God. But living in the light brings fellowship with God. And that's what he says in verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. So notice, as we walk in the light, we have this fellowship with God. Now, is walking in the light attitude or action? Now, I asked my college professor many years ago, we were studying Greek and we were going through 1 John, and I asked him, I said, is this action or attitude? And he said, it's both. It's both. And whereas I took the position it was attitude. Because here's the thing. Is there anybody in this room who's walking in the light the way God is walking in the light? Is there anyone in here doing that? No. No. We are not patterning our entire life after God completely. Now, we want to. That's our desire. But I don't believe anybody is doing this if this is action. Who is living the way God is living? Nobody. Nobody. And we're going to see in a moment where that's more so true when we get into the third point. I think it's attitude. I think it is the attitude of the heart. It is desire of the Christian to serve God, to follow God, to love God, to give God your heart. We want to do that. That's our attitude. But even when we do that, we seem to fall short. Paul says in Romans 7, he says, the things I don't want to do, that I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. Does that describe you? I know it describes me. And so walking in the light, yeah, I think it involves action, but I think primarily it is attitude. It is the heart that wants to pursue God. It's the heart that follows God, that goes after God with all of your being. And even though your life doesn't match it, it's still the desire of your heart. It's still what you want to do. And as a result of that, we maintain this fellowship with God. And so it's important to see. And so our fellowship with God is never broken. When we sin, we're to confess it. We'll see this in the next point, and we'll bring all this home. So walking in the light means, number three, that we receive daily cleansing of our sins. You see, sin is our ever-present difficulty, plaguing us. We want to do right, but we find ourselves doing wrong. Goes to Romans 7. Things I want to do, I don't. The things I hate, that I do. But John says that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have this cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the fellowship's not interrupted either. We are continually being cleansed of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this cleansing involves three important actions. Number one, it involves admitting to yourself that you are a sinner. Now, I want you to notice verse 8 and verse 10. In verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then in verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so there are two tenses used by John here, the past and the present. The Christian is not to say he has no sin, present tense, right now. That's verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if you say today, I don't have any sin, you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. That's what John tells us. That's why I'm saying there's nobody in here when it comes to action walking in the light as God is in the light. Why? Because we have sin. In God, there's no darkness at all. He never sins. So we will never pattern his life perfectly, but in our heart, we can have the attitude that wants to do that, and you strive to do that, and I believe that God is honored by that. But neither is the Christian to say that he has not sinned, past tense. So verse 8 is present tense. Verse 10 is past tense. We can't say we don't have sin now in our lives. And we can't say that we've not sinned. We're guilty of present sin and past sin. So we have to admit that. We have to be honest. We have to confess that to God. But secondly, we need to confess our sins to God. We need to confess them to God. Number one, we need to admit them. But then number two, we need to confess them to God. Now, it's one thing to know a verse by heart, but it's quite another to take a verse to heart. And this is one you want to take to heart. 1 John 1:9 is a beautiful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I always refer to that verse as the Christian spiritual bar soap. When we go out and we sin and we get dirty, 1 John 1:9 is how we get clean. We come to God and we confess, you know, God, I blew it. I blew it today. I didn't want to do that. I told myself I wouldn't do it again, and I did, and I'm sorry. But God, I'm going to do better tomorrow. I'm going to give it my all. Forgive me of my sin, and God will. You see, we can face our sin because of God's grace. The Bible says he will forgive you. That's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, some people would include verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 with the lesson today. I'm separating. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have a high priest as believers that we can come to and we can receive cleansing in our lives. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, the very end of that verse, that we are saved by the life of Christ. Now that's odd, because all through Scripture we're told we're saved by the death of Jesus. And the reality is we're saved by both, his death and his life. And his life is a reference to his intercessory ministry at the right hand of God. If you would, hold your finger there and look in Hebrews chapter 7. And I want you to look at verse 25. Love this verse. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says as he's talking about Jesus, our high priest. He says, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Jesus lives in the presence of the Father, and he is serving as our high priest. And when we sin, we're to go to God through Christ, and we're told that God will forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. And so this is vital. And so the third step, though, is extremely important, and that is accepting God's forgiveness. Now, we struggle with this. We really do. We struggle with this. And Satan will do everything he can to make you feel worthless and dirty and lost. And maybe you've felt that way before. Maybe because you're plagued with a sin in your life and you keep trying to eradicate it, but it's there. And you just keep trying to get rid of it. But everything you try, it just seems to hang around. And so you feel condemned. Satan wants you to believe you are unworthy of a relationship with him. How can you come to God? Look at you, you sinner. That's what Satan will plant in your head, because he knows guilt will keep you from drawing near to God. It always does. And so the only way you will ever have peace in your heart is to accept the forgiveness that God offers. So when you sin and you confess it and God says forgiven, you need to go away realizing you are in fact forgiven, that sin is gone. That he says in Hebrews 10:17, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. And so God throws it behind his back, or he plants it in the depth of the sea, or as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. Now, there's a very important point here that I want to make, and this pertains to legal guilt and personal guilt. And so legal guilt is when you transgress one of God's commandments. You are guilty. You may not feel anything. All right, as a Christian, I hope you do. But let's just say, for example, you don't. It doesn't matter if you feel it. You're guilty. It's like if you speed and you get pulled over, well, you're guilty. You sped. There's no question about it. You're guilty. You may not feel guilty. You may not feel bad at all, right? Other than you got caught. But other than that, you may not feel anything, but you are guilty by the law. And when you transgress God's commandments, you're guilty. Doesn't matter what you feel. But personal guilt is how we feel about what we did. And often we confuse that with how God feels about us when we sin. And that's what we cannot do. We cannot think that God thinks of me the way I think of me. Because I may be overwhelmed with guilt as a result of a sin in my life, and I've confessed it to God, and God says, forgiven. In other words, it's gone at that moment, completely gone. It's eradicated. It's forever gone from my life. But when God says forgiven, if I don't go away believing that, then I'm giving room for the devil to plant in my head that I am dirty and sinful and unworthy of a relationship with him. And that guilt will cause you to not draw near to God, but actually withdraw from God. Because that's what guilt does. You need to accept his forgiveness and move on with your life because you are 100% forgiven. And so, walking in the light means, number one, that we take on the nature of God in daily living. Number two, that we experience uninterrupted fellowship with God. And number three, we receive daily cleansing of our sins in our lives. And so it's wonderful to walk in the light as he is in the light. Are you doing that? Are you walking in the light? Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with God? Have your sins been forgiven? Do you need forgiveness in your life? Well, whatever your need is, we're going to sing a song. And during the singing of this song, we're going to encourage you to come forward and express whatever your desire is this morning as we stand and sing.